Bethesda, Maryland. It is the 11th of November, 2001. The sermon this morning is delivered by Dr. Robert Norris and entitled Possession of God's Promises. It's the 10th in the series of Possessing the Promises of God. The text is from Numbers 33, 50 through 56.
Then with me this morning in the Word of God to the 33rd chapter of the book of Numbers. We'll read from verse 50 to verse 56. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, opposite Jericho, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, When you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their figured stones, and destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land, and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. And you shall inherit the land by lot according to your families. To the larger you shall give more inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give less inheritance. Whatever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land in which they live. And it shall come about that as I plan to do to them, so I will do to you. Amen. May the Lord bless this his word. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you will draw very close to us and grant to us now as we seek to understand and to live in the light of your word, that we shall see it as a guidepost to Jesus and to the way we live in honor of him. Cause our hearts to be nurtured into Christ. We shall love him now and always, and that we shall walk before him. For we pray in his name. Amen. Do you believe God? Not simply do you believe in God, but do you believe him when he speaks and promises, and when he says, Walk in this way, and I will direct your paths and look over you. For many of us, it is much easier to talk about the reality of faith and about belief than it is to practice believing. And yet, anyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, any one of us who has seen the splendor and the beauty of Jesus coming from glory and dying in our place, rising from the dead to open for us of home at the side of the Father, any of us who by faith have united our lives to him, live our lives in gratitude and are called to live our lives, trusting for the way that God directs us. It's tough to do that when things don't go the way that we imagine they ought to go, when the plans that we have do not work out, and when the challenges that come to our life from unexpected places are ones that cause us to fall off balance, do we trust God in the midst of uncertain times, uncertain events, and place of question? God spoke to his people, and he said very simply, When you enter the land of Canaan, No, this is the land that I give to you as an inheritance. I am giving you this land. Take possession of the land, he said, and settle it. for I have given you this land to possess it. God's people had heard that promise for 40 years. You remember that when they came to the place called Kadesh Barnea, God had said to them, I will give to you a land. Possess it. Enter in. Take the blessing that I have covenanted to you. But when they saw the land, when they saw the 45 cities of Canaan, when they saw the size of the inhabitants, and when they saw the arms and the armies of the Canaanite people, Israel did not believe God. Filled with deceit, despair, they turned back. And what they were saying was, we do not believe that God will keep his word. We do not believe that he will give us this land. And we're afraid of the challenge. As a consequence, they turned back into the desert, and there they wandered for 40 years. And they were doomed to defeat because they could not trust and did not believe. And comes easily to us to fall into the same place. That in our world, we look at the chaos in which much of our world lives. We look at the pain that much of our world experiences, and we look at the world in which we live and say things have changed and are changing at such a rapid pace. It is difficult to trust God, particularly when we look at our own society and say, it looks as though we are slowly moving away from God rather than drawing close to him. As a consequence, we live in a time when there are many people who are predicting this is the last day. And they say that with a sort of wistfulness. The number of people who say, well, if only Jesus will come and take me home so I don't have to live with this anymore. And most of us have been there at some time when we face those challenges and say, it will be good when the Lord comes. Then I don't have to deal with all these issues, all these problems, all these people. I see some of you are smiling. I know you've been thinking that. We look at the bliss that is offered to us by the Lord and we say, come, Lord, quickly. But you know, as believers, we are never called to evacuate this world and our responsibilities. And the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is not to evacuate Christians from their circumstances. Winston Churchill said, as Britain's army was rescued from Dunkirk in 1940, wars were never won by evacuations, no matter how glorious. And the fact is, we are set by God in this world with a vocation. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord, we know that he has given to us a purpose in living. And every one of us who confesses him as a believer is called to live out our days in such a way that we will honor Christ, his kingdom, and look to the victory that he is producing. He's come to establish a new heaven and a new earth, and he will return to do that, and until he returns, ours is called to stand for him here. And whether it is in the place of our business, our home, in the relationships that we establish in family and in life, we are all of us alive now for the working of the kingdom of Christ. And that's our call. And as we read this 33rd chapter of the book of Numbers, we are given an enormously relevant perspective on how we do that. How we are being prepared for the victory of Christ. How your life and mine fit into God's purpose in this world. And the fact is, the world looks to be chaotic, and sometimes it's hard to be able to trace God's purpose in all that we see around us. And yet he has a purpose. He is working out his plan, and we are a part of it. And we ought to recognize that we are being, as a people of God, prepared for Christ's victory. Yes, the sinful pessimism that had turned Israel away from God's purposes at Kadesh Barnea watched as a whole generation faded into the desert. All of that is eradicated. For suddenly the people of God stand and see a land of promise. They see Canaan before them again. And now to them is given the sense of victory and the promise that they may enter in and possess it. And there is something new inside them. Nothing has changed in Canaan. The same physical factors stand there. There are still great cities like Jericho. There are still large numbers of armed opposition. There are still people who hate them and will fight them. But Israel is different. They believe the promise that God has set in their hearts. And what is different is their attitude. The people of God expected God to bless them. They believed God. And as a consequence, they were able to enter in and complete the work that he had given to them. They were able to possess the blessing. And that's the message that God brings to us in our generation. And in these last chapters of the book of Numbers, we are given a picture of how we possess God's blessing. And it begins as in the 31st chapter, we begin to remember the promises that God has kept. The whole of the 33rd chapter, if you read it, could be summed up very simply in saying, hitherto the Lord has helped us. God has guided us on our way. The 33rd chapter of Numbers is a record of God delivering his people from blessings and with care from their enemies. It gives to us a list of the different camps that Israel has had in its long journey. And it's an exhaustive list, and it's an exhausting one to read, and more complex if you try and read it aloud. But as they move from camp to camp, and as they seem to go through this desert experience, the one thing that Moses is able to see as he looks back is to say, God was in all of that. And that becomes a clue to our understanding how we go into the future. We look back and say, God was faithful. Sometimes when circumstances and challenges and events seem to be overwhelming, it is hard to be able to see what God's purpose is in the present. But you can look back. Anything you can look back and say there are no accidents in God's purpose. And we look back and we are able to trace how God's hand of blessing is always sufficient, always provides for us. He is always unfolding his promises. And as a consequence, as Israel now looks out on Canaan, what they knew deep in their hearts as they look back on God dealing with them, saving them from Egypt, leading them through a wilderness, they believed they were a people of destiny. Because God had been faithful to them. And that becomes the result of looking back and saying, this is how God guided me. There's not one Christian who can't look back on the events of your life and say, look at the hand of God and the way in which it worked in my life. What does that lead you to say? It ought to lead you to say this morning, I am a child of the King. I am a son and a daughter of God. I am a child of destiny. And that's what remembering God's goodness does. It reminds us that we aren't left alone. Reminds us that amidst all the challenges of life that we face, amidst all the seeming chaos and sometimes the overwhelming pain, we are a people chosen by God's mercy. In our lives we can trace
his hand guiding us and keeping us. And sometimes our lives look as curious as the campsite of Israel going through the wilderness. If you asked them when they stood at one campsite while they were there, they couldn't tell you. But now as they look back, it all makes sense. God was leading them. And as you look back, you look and see and remember that God has been faithful. Israel, while it had pillars of fire by day and fire by night, and we have none of those things, as they were reminded of the presence of God in this physical way, we who are the people of God are reminded of the same presence by the Holy Spirit. But he has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that when he left, he would give to us his Spirit, who would be to us the encourager and the strengthener of our faith. And he is the one who takes us and looks back upon all that we have been through and the places that we have traveled, and he makes sense of it in God's hands. And taking time to look back at the way in which God has blessed becomes an important step in being able to face whatever it is the Lord brings that we should enter in. To possess the blessings of God, you have to look back and see how faithful he is. Israel was called also to a presence. She was told by the Lord, take possession of this land. And it was a very specific command. Cross the Jordan into Canaan, said the Lord. Drive out the inhabitants, destroy their carved images, and cast down their idols. That is given to you that you are to do, Israel. That's the task of the people of God in the present, to be able to inherit the promises of God. Israel was called to cross the Jordan, and the miracle of the Jordan parting and them crossing, the miracle of the city of Jericho collapsing before their armies, the provision of God as he destroyed their enemies. All the things were part of his care for them. He opened the way, he prepared them. Israel was still called to fight the battles, still battle her enemies, still be faithful, but the task was given to them. That they should possess the land, that they should cast down the idols that were found there, and they should drive out the inhabitants. And they didn't do it. Oh, they won the battles. But they didn't drive out all the Canaanites. Seemed too hard for them to do that. They didn't cast down all the idols. It was a particularly difficult task and distasteful to be able to move the Canaanites out of the land. And so they thought it was better for us to be able to live with them on our borders. Encircle them. Keep them a part of who we are. And they lived as a people to regret that, whereas they never drove out the Canaanites, so they watched the adoption of idolatry into their own life. It was demonstrated for them, as it does for us, that if you don't deal with sin, it will deal with you. You don't battle it. It will come. It will touch you. And Israel did not do as she was called to do. And as a consequence, she reaped a task. It was the task of having to deal constantly with those who, as one translation has it, were the dogs in their eyes and the thorns in their side. They constantly had to live with the problem. God's calling to the present is not simply to rest. It is also a calling to our life to be able to fight the battles he sets for us, to walk in the path he sets for us to walk. It doesn't always work out that it is. It's not always something we choose. and the things that the Lord lays before us are not always things that are pain-free. But the present is the place in which we have to exercise whether or not we believe God when he says to us, I have for you a vocation. Your vocation is to live your life in my sight. And that's what every one of us is called to. Or we may have all sorts of different callings within that. We can be whatever we are and are skilled to do. But first and foremost, your calling is to be a Christian. If you're in Jesus, you have a vocation. And your vocation is to serve Christ wherever you are, with whatever skills you've got. But you are first and foremost to be His. And He will give you the battles to face. But you have to face them. You can't accommodate or compromise His task. When Israel did that, when she inherited a problem that was to become a whirlwind and was going to enter into their life, and for 400 years, it was going to be a source of tension and ultimately of disappointment. We are called to believe God and live for Him in the present. And it isn't always easy. It's easier to talk about it than to do it. There's that wonderful story of the acrobat at the beginning of this century who had amongst his many tricks to cross Niagara Falls on a rope. You remember the story of how he carried not only himself but a sack of potatoes across Niagara Falls before they forbade all that sort of thing. And he got to the other end safely. A little boy had watched him and was applauding, and he said, do you believe I could carry you across too? And the boy said, certainly, I believe you could. Carry that sack of potatoes. And he said to him, well, jump on my shoulders, I'll take you across. And he said, oh no, I believe you can do it, but I don't trust you. And then you get to get a faith in God like that. He believes he can do it. He can move mountains, but we don't trust him to do it. When it comes to the specific callings of life, our vocation is to serve Christ, to love Him, and to let the witness of His love in us in all the circumstances of our life to challenge the pathway that we walk on. That's what we're called to do. The third thing this passage reminds us of is that we are being prepared for His future. God said to Israel, settle the land. You're no longer to be a nomad people wandering through a wilderness. Here are the provisions for your settling. And as you read chapter 34, chapter 35, and chapter 36, you will record there a number of laws that God gives. He tells His people how the distribution of the land is to take place. He defines how borders are to be established. He assigns the tribal holdings. He sets specific cities. A sanctuary, He enables the structures of a society to be laid and the foundation for the good ordering of a people who are going to inhabit the land to slowly develop. Rules for judgment are outlined. Regulations for inheritance are established. And it seems to us as we read it, what a dull series of things that are there. But what God is doing is taking the people who have been used to wandering and saying, I have given you this land. And the rules for settling are different from the rules of wandering. And the way in which you build your house is different than when you simply put up a tent. You are home. Now possess that home in such a way that it will demonstrate that I have given it to you and that I live in your midst and you honor me. Gave them a future. And He laid the future before them. And to you and to me, the Lord gives a future. The future in Jesus. He said, I have given you a home. It is at my side. It is to look upon me with glory. Jesus said, I have come that you shall have life I have come that where I am, you may be also. I have come to bring you to my Father. That's your future. And he's given to us that which sets our eyes upon his future. Tells us this is how you live, citizens of heaven. God's people, different than the world in which you live, the city of God set in the midst of the city of man. You've got a different eternity. That's how we live. We live with the sight of the future that is settled. The book of Numbers is about the journey of God's people to a land of promise. It's a story told with transparent candor, successes and failures, blessings and curses, victories and defeats, all of them set in front of them, all given to us that we should ask the questions that are deepest in our heart. Where are we going? We are set as God's people with a glorious future. We are given, committed to our core, a present in which we are to serve him. And each of us can look back on the past and say, God's hand brought me here. Why am I here? So that I will be able to serve his purpose. There are points of life that some of us have reached, and many of us will reach, and perhaps all of us get to, where we turn around and say, I'm never going to be what I thought I was going to be. I'm never going to do some of the things I always thought I would do. What's there left for me? What is left? If you should possess the land that God has given to you. It is that the present is a place of service. The future is a settled home. Walk where the Lord leads in his way. His purpose was always to save for himself a people. It is a purpose revealed in Jesus Christ, who is the heart of God's purpose now and always. It was always true that Jesus was the center of history. And as we are related to him in the forgiveness of our sins placed upon his cross, as we find in him who is alive, our hope and our strength in the present, so he unfolds the future. And we are called to be possessors of his future. And in Jesus, he gives to us a hope. Doesn't fail, doesn't diminish. He gives to us a meaning in the way in which we live. And as we move into his gift, he gives to us the promise of his presence. He will not fail. Let's pray. Our Father, you have set the hope of the gospel in our hearts. You have set the light of your promise in our eyes. And you have given to us your spirit to walk where you will lead. Draw us after you. Let our lives so be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will move forward and will not turn back, that we might honor you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.